It's time for Supply Chain Now Radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the country, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day. Now, here are your hosts.
Good morning. Scott Luton here with you live on Supply Chain Now Radio this morning, our second podcast of the week and third installment of our hashtag Leadership Matters series. For this series focused on the critical area of leadership, we're proud to be partnering with the Effective Syndicate, a fast growth coaching and consulting firm that's helping companies break through barriers and get better results. This series focuses on gathering perspective and best practices for making our listeners stronger and more successful leaders, not only in their business, but also in general. So big thanks to our sponsor, The Effective Syndicate. Check them out at TheEffectiveSyndicate.com. And for our listeners, if you're listening to this on a replay or recording, we make it easy to tune in live to every episode. Go to SupplyChainNowRadio.com. You'll see a big red button up at the top that says Listen Live. Click on that. It's easy from there, and we'll get you on the bus with Supply Chain Now Radio Live. All right, so moving right along on this busy, Friday morning? Let's welcome our talented co-host, Bo Groover, founder and president of The Effective Syndicate, and also he's a member of our Apex Atlanta Executive Advisory Board. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning.
Fresh off your world travels in Chicago, Charleston, and Arkansas.
Since the last show.
Check. Did we miss anything? I know we got some travel coming up, right?
Yeah, travel coming up, and you didn't miss anything.
Okay, fantastic.
So, start out the show. I got a joke for the day. Everybody's ready.
Let's hear.
We're ready.
I've vetted this, and it's cleared for takeoff. So, Urban Meyer, who is retiring from coaching football yet another pile of interesting circumstances, is now employed by The Ohio State University to teach leadership and character.
Go Buckeyes.
Is that the joke?
That's the joke. That's the end of the joke.
Woo! Okay. The best. Bringing the best of all things, supply chain and humor here at Supply Chain Now Radio.
But, thank you very much.
We keep our eye on the Buckeyes there. Someone's got to. But Bo, as always, glad to have you back on this leadership series. It's been a great series of conversations on a topic that's probably more relevant than ever before these days. So let's welcome today's featured guest, Paige Siplon, CEO of Team One Logistics. Good morning, Paige.
Good morning.
Glad to have you back as a repeat guest. I know, speaking of high flying, I think you live in an airplane.
Sometimes feels like it.
But doing great things nationally, and glad to have you back. Dave Maddox, Senior Vice President, Sales Supply Chain with Envision Global. And Dave also serves as President of CSCMP Atlanta Roundtable. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Scott. Glad to be here.
Got an all-star lineup today. Dave, appreciate all of your collaboration this year. It's been fun. So we're going to bring Paige and Dave back into the conversation in just a moment. Well, you know what? No, we're going to bring them in right now. We've made a little small change. Typically, we start a lot of these shows on some of the top things to know in supply chain now. But given that we had a podcast already this week and we've already shared that information, we want to put y'all right on the spot with our question. So, you know, theme here is leadership, you know, leadership, hashtag leadership matters. Is there a particular quote or a particular leader that's really been a go-to in y'all's careers, or it's been something that's really, you know, you've drawn a lot of inspiration from? And if you all want to think about that for a second, we can start with Bo, because Bo's got a library of them. Let's do that. Bo?
Don't know about the library. I've got a few. I think the one that I've been referring to most often recently is attributed to Peter Drucker. The quote says, "No team has ever suffered because its members were capable." And it again talks to the principle of leadership of it's not about you.
Yep.
So you could say it much simpler and say it's not about you. But that's one that I keep referring to that seems to be pretty powerful.
Yep. And so beyond a quote, and Drucker's got a bunch of them, is there an individual in your career that's really, you know, you point back and how he or she led that's really, you know, served as a guiding light?
You know, I've been blessed. I've had the opportunity to work with several great leaders. My first job was in a New York style pizza place, and the guy was from Italy and taught me so much about just being matter of fact and getting things done. So everybody loved working there. I mean, you know, it's a pizza place in a mall, so it's not high stress kind of thing. But at 15 years old, you're watching this guy with his incredible work ethic, and he was such a coach and a teacher, and you just felt the love that he wanted you to be great and do great things. And
was the pizza good?
Pizza was amazing. When I go back to that part of North Carolina, I still go get a slice of pizza from Mario. I do.
Mario, awesome. Paige?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any one person in particular. I've been able to, and we'll talk about this later, but have been blessed to be able to be led by a lot of different folks. I think probably the one that has been the most, has had the most impact on my life has been the Marine Corps. I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps, 6 years in the Air Force, and very different organizations. Mm. But the Marine Corps in general, just the philosophy of work ethic, the philosophy of responsibility and passion and being led and being a leader has been the sort of the cornerstone of my life and my leadership career and my business career, as well as my personal life as well. From a personal quote or book, I'm really fond of Jim Collins and the Good to Great book, and I use a lot of his philosophies. He's written a lot of stuff around business leadership. It just really resonates with me and you know, the things that I do as a leader and as a person.
Thank you for your service.
Thank
Definitely.
You.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Thanks there.
Especially this time of year, as we're all talking about our holiday plans early. You got folks that are deployed frontline or deployed here or just serving right in uniform that can't spend time with their family. So very appreciative of your service and appreciate all those men and women in uniform that protect what we do over the next week or so. Dave, any thoughts on folks that had a big impact in your career?
Well, I would echo over here with Paige. My dad was I'm in the Marine Corps, and I was born at Camp Pendleton, so hoo-ah.
Right.
And
didn't know that.
Yeah, and so from a leader standpoint, I there's lots out there. Steve Jobs is somebody that I think had great vision to be able to do the things that he was able to do with mobile technology and where it is today. It's incredible where that's taken us. From a personal standpoint, I've had many great leaders in my career. I've had several positions that I've held. I think not particularly one person, but really I think the things that all of those folks were able to do is be able to give you the tools, give you the training to be effective, and then let you go, but then give you feedback. So not micromanage, but really just provide what you need, provide the tools, provide the training, just give you feedback and let you run, make mistakes, learn from them, make sure you don't make those mistakes again, and be successful. Mm. And that's what my current leader does today is he's really a person that instead of really says these are the things I want you to look out to do, it's more like you should be able to understand what you should be doing by my actions and what we're doing as a company, and then I can give you feedback from that. So really just taking that first step.
Mm. You know, you mentioned Steve Jobs. One of the things that I don't think gets, we hear a lot about Steve Jobs, right? He's legendary. But one of the things that's not as promoted is when he went back into Apple as the CEO the second time, one of the first things he did was clear out the Apple Museum that celebrated all their past successes, because he wanted to be forward-looking and not looking back, you know, not rest on laurels and continue to challenge organizations to create the next big thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool, because, I mean, all of us are guilty at some point or other of, you know, celebrating, you know, something we've done previously, but always be, you know, charging ahead was a neat thing that he brought.
I think that's a key point. Our owner, Luther Brown, would say is the minute you stop improving your technology, you're dead. You've got to always continue to grow your technology, not stop.
Boy, talk about a fast-moving industry, man. Changing by the minute, seems like, but all you know, providing more opportunity and growth for the industry.
Did you just say supply chain is a fast-moving industry, Scott?
No, well, I was referring to
more technology.
I'm trying to keep up.
I'm on today.
Yeah. Hey, easy there, Urban. Easy there, man. All right. Well, good stuff. Well, again, glad to have Dave and Paige on the show today, and we're going to lead off. Bo, unless you got any final thoughts before we kind of dial in on Paige and anything you want to add? So what do you think, to continue that joke, Urban Meyer Leadership Institute, what's going to be the first class they schedule?
I can't imagine. I mean, he left Florida under kind of weird circumstances.
Right.
He comes to Ohio State, and there's all this noise about his assistant, and he, quote, I'm doing air quotes here, and rolling my eyes at the same time, he didn't know about. The police were called to that coach's house 9 times.
Ooh.
And he didn't know about it. So it's just it's laughable that academia says, all right, here's this person who is in such a high-profile position. We're paying him millions of dollars, and clearly this is not his repertoire. Yeah. I think he's a great football coach, but character's probably not his strength.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's put him in our very prestigious university and teach character and leadership.
Great points.
Begs the question. Yeah,
it does. Accountability still is important and relevant. So we'll see how that plays out. But segueing, our first guest today here on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Paige Siplon, CEO of Team One Logistics. Paige, glad to have you back. So we want to talk about a couple of different things, all kind of related back to leadership with you today. But first off, Team One has been on an incredible growth trajectory, easy for you to say. Tell us about how they serve the market and what y'all provide.
Yeah, so Team One Logistics is a workforce management company in its simplest terms. We talk about ourselves being a growth company. We partner with asset-based logistics and transportation companies, and those are big words. They mean a lot of different things in the industry overall. But we partner with those asset-based logistics and transportation companies to be their workforce partner. And, you know, being a growth company, you know, companies that are growing, looking to create a culture, looking to do it safely, is something that requires 100% of your time. So we come in as their true partner to help them do that. We've have a very unique model that we've been able to scale and grow, thankfully, around the country. I joined 3 years ago. We've now grown into 43 states. We have about 1,000 employees and about 110 locations around the country where we're partnered with those asset-based providers all over the country. So it's been a great run, and we're looking to 18. We grew about 20% in 18 and looking to do that. And we'll talk about some more about growth and some of the things we put in place when I came on board with my team.
What are some of those newer markets that you're serving? 43 states, 110 locations, I think.
That's right. Yeah.
What's a couple of the newer ones, you think?
Well, yeah, you talk about all the time. The supply chain industry is changing. Logistics is changing. And frankly, those changes have been great tailwinds for Team One. It'll always be a people-enabled business. Those trucks don't drive themselves. I know we've talked about that on this show before.
Right.
But they don't drive themselves. And even when they do, there will be people behind the scenes. Those jobs will change. And those responsibilities will change. And the technology they need to use will change. So the training will need to continue to develop. Mm-hmm. But so markets and how those products are delivered, tell you we're doing more in the last mile side. A lot of companies that were more traditional over-the-road trucking companies, perhaps, or 3PLs, to use an industry term, are now looking at how they can tap into not just the Amazon effect, but how they can tap into reaching customers in that last mile. And then geographically, it's growing pretty significantly. We're doing a lot more business in California, which has a whole different podcast. Podcast probably worthy of itself, just on the human resources side and managing the rules and regulations in California in particular. It's just it's a very different animal for sure. So that's taken a lot of attention from our company to be able to provide the kind of resources and tools we have to help companies, again, grow and build culture within their organization.
So, you know, speaking, because last time you were on the show, we spoke extensively on autonomous trucking and vehicles. And I was reading in the Georgia Logistics snapshot for December, they referenced a new McKinsey study that is really trying to dial in and to really predict when we're going to see big shifts, and they put it in different phases. But I think 2027 was the year that this latest study, based on all the factors and our acceptance as consumers of having truck, even if you got someone in the cab, no one behind the wheel.
Yeah.
But 2027 is when they're predicting that it's going to be widely accepted and in use, and so we'll see how that plays out.
I would just to that point, I would add it's really on the states, right? Mm-hmm. We need federal regulation to help guide that, but really it's the state by states. Where you're seeing automation now and autonomous vehicles, there are some states that have really stepped up. Georgia, I know, is already talking more about it. They've been talking about it for a while. Mm-hmm. I think we have an opportunity here in Atlanta, in particular, to be a showcase for a lot of that autonomy. But states need to step up and put rules and regulations in place to manage those autonomous vehicles. That's really one of the bigger hurdles. The technology's there.
Yep.
I mean, I just bought a new Jeep Grand Cherokee, drove it to North Carolina, and that lane departure technology, I mean, it gets mixed driving kind of boring. Adaptive cruise control, keeps you going the right pace no matter what speed you're doing, and keeps you between the lines. Mm. I mean, there's a lot more to driving than that.
Right.
I get that. But, I mean, the technology is basically there. And now it's about applying it to the supply chain operations in an appropriate way and cost effective.
Do you know, Paige, is Georgia Tech doing anything with developing that autonomous technology? Are they involved in that?
In a variety of departments and groups, from, you know, from the industrial engineering side, mechanical engineering, and obviously the computer engineering and computer sciences side, for sure. I mean, it's you could probably look at three or four different groups within Georgia Tech doing research on autonomous vehicles and trucks in particular.
Good.
So going, I like how you know, so the states are in key leadership roles when it comes to this. I like how you talked about how Georgia's got the opportunity to be really a showcase for autonomous vehicles, much like that's the track record we've established, especially when it comes to supply chain, right? I know you had a lot to do with that when you were at the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics. So hopefully we continue that leadership trend, speaking of leadership, and we continue to be a leader on new technology and new trends in supply chain.
For sure.
So shifting gears a little bit, no pun intended, let's talk about your path as CEO.
Yeah.
You know, been there 3 years now, leading the charge at Team One Logistics, going through a lot of growth, clearly. How'd you get, and I'd love to take the 6-hour version of this answer, but Cliff Notes, how'd you get to where you are?
Yeah, I mentioned before that I was in the Marine Corps. That's how I sort of started my career. So I was cargo for quite a while, and got shipped around. But it was, you know, being able to be in the Marine Corps and have the leaders that I had and get the training that I got, and then to go from there into the Air Force in a very different sort of job, doing secure data systems and cryptography and a lot of buildings without windows. Mm-hmm. And the leadership and the things I saw being in the Air Force after that for another 6 years, it really developed the kind of mindset that I needed to be able to lead Marines and then lead troops in the Air Force. And then to step into, I did some sales and some other private sector work, and then step into the public sector and essentially lead a consulting company, and then be surrounded by great leadership. I started with Governor Perdue and then Governor Deal. Great leaders, very different leaders, but great leaders in their own respects. Governor Perdue had a trucking company, so he understood transportation, and it was great to see him and the staff and team that they had there around them. And then at the Department of Economic Development, who I worked very closely with, which was another step in the right direction. Mm. And workforce has always been a big part of all those businesses and those operations. So then to be able to step into Team One and bring some of that training and experience and knowledge and passion into the mix has been,
and that well-roundedness. I mean, you just described. I would assume a lot of organizational leaders don't have the Baskin Robbins 32 flavors and experience, but the well-roundedness that you bring to the table, I'm sure, is pretty unique and pretty powerful.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it's been a neat run. It's been not exactly prescribed. I didn't plan it out that way coming out of the Marine Corps, but it certainly all fit together the right place in the right time.
So I'd forgotten Governor Perdue had a trucking company, which it makes me maybe just like we need more veterans in positions of leadership within government. Those numbers have gone down.
Yeah.
We need more supply chain folks getting into policy positions, maybe. I think we'd all benefit there.
I would submit that we need more business people in government positions and in politics.
Here. So I'm with you.
It tends to make a difference.
Practical experience, business experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Used to problem solving and practical, grounded ways.
Sure. So it's been a good run.
Great run. So if you look back and think about some of those, whether they're tough lessons learned, critical lessons learned, you know, things that you think back to, whether they're huge successes or tough failures that we all, you know, we all have and learn from, what are some of those tough lessons that you learned, critical lessons you learned along the way?
Yeah, I think more just personality, I think, has been key and something that we all need to work on, and how not just to be a leader. I mean, one of my principles is that anybody can lead and tell people what to do, which isn't leading.
Right.
It's really trying to shape yourself into someone that wants to be followed, that people want to follow. And being someone that people want to follow is hard to do. It's waking up every day, doing the right things, bringing that positive attitude when it's really, really hard, making tough decisions when you have to, but doing it in a way that people want to follow, right? And in my opinion, I think that includes a lot of passion, right? I mean, life's too short to be negative, and the people, whether it's troops in harm's way, or whether it's, you know, people at Team One Logistics, being passionate and positive and being something that people want to be part of is key. And I don't think a lot of people spend enough time practicing that, because it doesn't just happen naturally. Even if you're a positive, you know, bubbly type person, it doesn't come naturally. It requires practice.
Right. One of my leaders that was one of my mentors said, look, as a leader, you're always being watched. whether you know it, whether you're walking through the building,
right,
or whether you're in a meeting, or whether you're talking to somebody at the break room, people are watching you and they're getting their cues from you. So recognize if you're there, you're on, and you need to stay on if you want to be somebody that people want to follow. It is, you got to set that example in what you do.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, from when you walk into I think about it when I park my car, and I'm not even joking. When I park my car coming into the parking lot, I know that I've got to put on a game face. And some days that's difficult, right?
Yep.
To be able to put on a positive face. You got a lot of stuff going on. I got a lot of things on my mind personally and professionally and everything else. We all do. But you got to put on your game face, and it's showtime, right? And be able to walk in that door and lead people so that they want to follow you is critical. And again, requires practice and thought.
That's exactly right.
And life continues whether we like it or not. You know, that doesn't stop because we're having a bad day at work. It continues, especially if you have kids, right? Going back to something you shared there, because in the military, and I was in the Air Force, I did.
That's right.
I would not cut it in the Marines, so I can appreciate that. But you have that rank, in the military, and you've got that, that system and that
structure.
It's easy. Yes, easy to determine, give orders and follow orders, and you got that structure, right? Mm-hmm. But as I learned, as you come out into the private sector, especially, I transitioned out in 2002, but you think about, 2018, 2019, there's no rank on sleeves or lapels. And better yet, just because you're XYZ title, it doesn't mean folks are going to follow and you're going to be an effective leader.
Right.
So going back to being the leader that folks want to follow, talk more about how you've got to practice that in order to execute on it.
No, I mean, you just do. I mean, you've got to be able to put the principles. First of all, it's about having the right team around you, right? I mean, because some people don't want to follow, and some people don't want to be led, and we won't put certain tags on people, but kids today, right? I mean, it's difficult. They've got their own personalities, and you've got to be able to adjust to that. Every team that you lead, every group that you have has certain subsectors into it that require different sort of personalities for you to put on, right? So, and again, it requires practice. But if you've got a team that is the wrong people on the bus, I mentioned Jim Collins in Good to Great. One of his principles is getting the right people on the bus, and that's not good enough. Then you got to get them on the right seats on the bus. Not everyone can drive the bus. Not everyone knows how to roll the windows down, and you can make up a bunch of silly examples. But if you don't have them on the right seats on the bus, you're gonna waste a lot of time and burn a lot of calories trying to lead them or get them to believe in the direction you're heading and have them follow you. Mm. So that's really important, and that can be painful at times, especially when you're coming into a new organization or trying to reinvent an organization that requires maybe some cuts, maybe bringing some new people in, introducing new other leaders and managers into your group.
Having the right chemistry.
Yeah, the chemistry. And that's not something you can push on people. That either have it or you don't.
Yep.
And a good leader knows whether those people are going to be able to be led. And so that would be the first step.
So chemistry, that second cousin to culture. And I know in the warm-up good conversation, point. That was a big common theme. That's a big aspect of it you're real passionate about. So as CEO of Team One, where would you say you've had the largest impact on company culture?
Yeah, I think that's been part of it, right, is putting the right people on the bus, getting the right seats on the bus, and creating a culture that people want to come to work every day. And that's easier to do in a smaller group. It's more difficult to do when you have transportation. We have a lot of commercial truck drivers that are out there. How do you create an environment where they're out on the road by themselves, and they making them feel like they're part of something, right? And that's something we will always never be great at, because we'll always be striving to be even better, if that makes sense.
Regardless of the role. Which reminds me, I think there was, I don't know, I'm probably botched this. I thought you were about to say something else, but I looked at you. There's this little anecdote, y'all might have heard it, when we were back in the 60s and we were, on a mission to put a man on the moon. Mm-hmm. There's an anecdote that I've heard told where if you asked anyone in the entire NASA headquarters what role they had is to put a man on the moon, and there's a famous anecdote where I think it was LBJ came to the presidential visit and he had a quick conversation with a janitor and asked him what he did here, and it was, my mission is to put a man on the moon.
That's
having
great point.
To what you're saying, where everybody, regardless of the role, they know what they're where they play in the big picture and the role they have in the mission.
Well, I just had our annual meeting with our team at Team One Logistics. We brought in upper management from around the country. And, you know, so one of the things, it was a lot of great conversation. One of the things we talked about is that we are all have that common mission. Culture is really our core concept of what Team One is all about. We help companies grow by providing and establishing culture in the logistics workspace. And the tools that we do that with, whether you're in finance and doing payroll, or whether you're a recruiter, or whether you're in HR, you're a mechanic using those tools that you're an expert in, let's say HR, and you're using that tool to help create culture. So I'm trying to also establish that mantra within Team One, again, a logistics workforce, on how culture is really key, because we're plagued with problems across the industry. Turnover is an all-time high, the driver shortages. I mean, there's a lot of issues that are connected to workforce. Wages are lower. And so you ask why, and they come down to, I think, they all come down to culture. Yep. Why do people turn over so much? Well, they think the grass is greener, or they're not getting treated the way they should. Well, that's a shame. Well, let's not do that, right? easy to say, very, very difficult to do. Yep. And we're trying to put the pieces in place. And I would submit that we've been doing a pretty good job at it with our partners for some time now.
So Kathy Fulton with Allen Aid was on the show a few months back.
Great organization.
Yes, absolutely.
Incredible.
And such a big need. She mentioned, she said that supply chain folks are perfect for natural disaster environments because we operate best when it's not this nice, stable, perfect solution. And we operate best when we're, you know, hitting the curveballs out and expecting the curveballs and rolling with the punches. So I thought that was a great, great, well-stated sentiment there, because it's core to how effective they've been at making sure that the help gets to where it needs to be when it comes to hurricanes and flooding, all that other stuff. So great organization, Allen Aid.
Or working best when it's dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I mean,
because supply chain a lot of times is dysfunctional. It's not static. There's static periods of the year, but most of the time it's, hey, I need it now. What are you doing for me to do it now? And you got to be able to make quick decisions to be able to execute.
Yep.
Great point.
Well put, Dave. So let's shift gears again, and let's talk about, and I appreciate your support for the 2019 Atlanta Supply Chain Awards page.
Yeah.
Early supporter, of course, your history with the Georgia Logistics Summit and 11 years in now. And the genesis of that was a 200-person lunch, I think, back the mid-2000s. Mm-hmm. So love having you and Team One on board as a presenting sponsor. And speaking of culture, the award that your team is serving as presenting sponsor on is dedicated to culture and supply chain. So while we're still coming up with the formal package of that is, talk about what are some of the criteria that we're going to be looking for that award.
Yeah, I mean, probably not surprising that, you know, Team One would be sponsoring a culture award after hearing you ramble on here about how important culture is. But we truly do believe it. And there are a lot of great companies out there that are doing some incredible things that really feel like culture is something that, you know, that they can be best in the world at because it makes money for them and they're passionate about it. And those will be some, like you said, we're still fine-tuning the exact criteria, but there's a lot of great companies out there that are doing things different. I mean, maybe culture of, you know, employing more veterans or employing more women. Lots of great things that companies are doing, just as a couple examples that we want to recognize, and we think that's important. We don't shine a light on, you know, the soft side that people think about, which is culture and, you know, taking care of your employees. But it is the common denominator for how we're going to be able to grow and compete as a industry. And in transportation in particular, that culture is going to be something we really need to focus on. And just like leadership, it's not something that just happens. You got to practice it, and you got to have a real strong belief in it. Wake up every day knowing it's showtime to be able to bring that culture to the table. Mm-hmm. And companies will thrive. And that's not just a warm and fuzzy thing. Right. There's a bottom line impact, which is very tangible, great ROI in having a strong culture.
It's so refreshing to hear somebody at your level talking about culture with the passion and energy and understanding. I think I've spent a career trying to get people at your level to hear this and recognize it. Well, but the Gallup organization every year publishes, you know, it's at 30% of the American workforce is engaged in their work, which means 70% is either actively disengaged or disengaged.
I've heard that.
And so we talk about turnover, right? We talk about the dissatisfaction with your job. And to me, it goes back to culture, which I think is driven by leadership. So you can build that pyramid up to say, I want to have a really great culture, but it starts way down here on the decision to say, we're going to do this, we're going to practice it, we're going to get really, really good at it. Because we know if we do these things, our people will be happier, they'll be more productive, they'll be safer. And when they get home, which is kind of the people side of it, really, they're better fathers, mothers, daughters, husbands, wives, their other roles, because they're not frustrated at work. They don't hate what they do every day. They go home and they're good people. That's the culture, right?
Yeah, that's exactly
it.
That's it.
So appreciate your support. Appreciate you not only Team One serving as a presenting sponsor for the Supply Chain Culture Award, but also serving on the judges panel.
Yeah.
Appreciate that because you have nothing else to do. Fit it somewhere on your five plates, but really
it's important.
It's very really important, especially with a first year event. I know there was a couple different predecessors that maybe looked a little different ways, but it's really important to have great leaders be a part of an event that APIX and CSC and P Atlanta and Metro Atlanta Chambers working to stand up. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
And to our listeners, you can find out more information at AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. And the date for that is March 12, 2019. We're shaking the trees hard for nominations and sponsors. And let us know if you have any interest or questions. So that wraps up our first segment here. Don't go anywhere, Paige. That was Paige Sipline, CEO of Team One Logistics. We're going to get you to weigh in on a couple of things here through the balance of the show. But thanks again for your time and all your industry leadership. Looking forward to a big 2019 from the Team One team.
Same here.
All right. Our next guest today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we welcome Dave Maddox, Senior Vice President, Sales Supply Chain with Envision Global. Also serves as President of CSC&P Atlanta Roundtable. Good morning again, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
Glad to have you here today.
Glad to be here.
And really enjoyed all the, you know, we talk about the Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, and that's been part of the collaboration between APIX and CSC&P in here in Atlanta. But there's been a lot of different things and a lot of kindred spirits and you know, helping to share best practices and ideas and building relationships across the end-to-end supply chain industry here in Atlanta. So appreciate all your leadership there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's super important that there's so many different organizations around that you look in the mirror and say, hey, what can we do to join together some of these? And the Supply Chain Awards for Atlanta is in 2019 is one of them. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be super, and there's going to be some great companies that are going to be receiving these awards.
Absolutely. So let's talk first about Envision Global, because speaking of growth with Paige and Team One, y'all have also been growing left and right at Envision. We enjoyed a great joint webinar a few months back on data analytics big data, really. Talk about how Envision Global serves the market and what your firm provides.
Yeah, thanks. So Envision Global, we're celebrating our 25th year this year, so very excited about that. And I would say, you know, in a nutshell, it's global automated technology. It's transportation technology, providing configurable transportation technology. And when we say global, there's lots of folks that have partners that execute on their behalf globally. We actually have offices in 7 countries globally. Our newest office that we opened last year is Cluj, Romania. So we have offices in the Netherlands. We have offices in China, Costa Rica, Brazil, India, and here in Atlanta is our corporate office. So 7 countries, and we're continuing to grow again with the latest office being Cluj, Romania, last year with over 500 associates. With boots on the ground, so folks in those offices executing the needs of our customers with many services related to transportation for the most part.
And you're going to be, I know you spend a lot of time in the plane as well. You were talking to us in a warm-up conversation. One of your next trips is you're going to Russia.
Latin America. Well, now I'm going to need to go to Latin America.
Latin America first.
Yep, need to go down there and see our folks down there and grow that market. Some of the other markets that we're looking to grow is Southern Europe. And we're looking at United Emirates as an area of growth, as well as Northern Africa. So there's a lot of areas in the globe that need technology, that are very manual in nature, and these are the things that we want to try to provide and help folks be able to streamline their business.
Love it. So kind of moving right along here, how do you see supply chain leaders better utilizing technology in 2019 to heighten organizational performance?
Yeah, that can be a kind of a large topic in terms of kind of where do you grab? There's lots of things going on, but I would say with supply chain that it's really trying to find one system. It's about integration because there's so many different systems and ERPs yep. that companies have to be able to drive their business, and the difficulty is, do they all speak together? Do they all have the same language to be able to provide an outcome that's easily reachable, obtainable, something I can get my hands on that's not disrupting to me for me to be able to make a quick decision? Change your customers change all the time, business changes, so you need to be able to make quick decisions. So having one system that could integrate globally, if you're a global company, I think to be able to make quick decisions based on change is something I think everybody's going to be trying to still grab. How do I do that? How do I best work with somebody to be able to solve that issue?
We need an easy button that we can pop and right. they'll slow down some of this change and let us digest what we're, you know, what's happening today versus before we dive into tomorrow. But when it comes to the change and the rapid rate and the rapidly increasing rate of change, you know, data and good data and timely data becomes even more valuable, right? So one of the things we're hearing more and more about in this vast technology space is TMS, the transportation management systems that are out there. Why are these systems becoming more and more critical, Dave?
Well, I mentioned with respect to the one system and integration, there's gaps that need to be filled. ERPs don't have everything that they need to be able to execute the full supply chain from inbound suppliers all the way to outbound execution to the final customer. So there's certain gaps that you need to be able to fill. And therefore, those companies like us that are able to provide a configurable technology, because everybody's business is a little different.
Yep.
And so I want to make sure I provide something that works for them. I don't want them to be able to be provided a box that if they play in the box, great. If they don't, sorry, you need to play in the box. I got to create them something that's going to be usable for them. And so what we do is we have to create a workshop. We have to have discovery. We have to understand completely what's going on with the organization. We have the technology, but we can make those lever changes within our technology. We don't call it customizable. We call it configurable in order to have those businesses be able to run effectively. And so what are some of the things that I think that folks need to be thinking about?
Yep.
And I kind of came up with five, if you will, and right or wrong, visibility. I think everybody today is wanting to understand when are they going to get their goods. So you buy something from Amazon, you're immediately going, okay, is it on the truck? Where is it? When am I going to get it? And so having good real-time visibility is a very, very key component of your business. I think improved service is and lowering cost is obviously what everybody's after. All right, so what does that mean? And so when you're executing shipments within the supply chain, you need to make sure you're doing your best to consolidate, optimize those shipments in order to be able to improve the service of my business and lower the costs. And so technology does that versus somebody that's got pieces of paper and Excel spreadsheets and they're going, okay, I can match that up with that. And I can put that on a Google map and it says, yeah, but it takes time to do that, takes bodies to do that. You have a human error element that still can be part of it. So, but if you have technology that can actually do that consolidation for you and do that optimization, say this can go with this and be able to create that execution and be able to lower cost but still improve the service or get the service that the customer expects, I think that's a key piece. I would say capacity being automated. What do I mean by that? Paige talked about how difficult it is about drivers and capacity. Continues to be an issue. We talked about autonomous vehicles. What are we going to do to be able to relieve some of that pressure?
Yep.
Well, one of the things that we do at Envision Global with respect to that capacity is be able to create an automated way to be able to find capacity. So we call it spot auction. And so we actually provide a spot auction tool within our technology that enables that shipper to be able to submit out those lanes that they're looking to be able to cover and be able to get that to the carrier community in order to send something back in a timed environment. It could be as low as 30 minutes. It can be as as much as 3 days if it's an ocean environment. But you're timing that. You're being able to look for capacity. So I'm finding a capacity, number one, a provider. Number two, I'm trying to get the best rate. So I got, because I got to get it done. Yep. And so it's an automated way to be able to do that. And it's been effective for us. And folks are really applying that to their business. Fourth, managing suppliers. So on the inbound side, as you're bringing in your goods, you're releasing purchase orders. And so companies need some technology to be able to apply how those are going to be shipped. I want to make sure they don't come in too early. I don't have the warehouse space, or I don't want to fund those goods that I'm saying, you know, ship them December the 20th. Don't ship them on December the 1st. So regulating them when they come in, and then making sure whatever you have ordered from a purchase order that they are in fact all getting shipped. All right. So having visibility, well, I ordered 120,000, you shipped 100,000, there's still 20,000 out there. I got to make sure I get that balance of the 20,000, or I got to find somebody else to get it done. Because again, this is all working through my point of sale from a replenishment standpoint to make sure that I get what I'm supposed to get. So having technology to be able to drive managing your goods, I think is a piece that's important. And I would say the fifth one being technology in general, and what I mean by that is providing contract management. So being able to have all those tariffs, all those rates in one place.
Said the T word, tariffs.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that that you understand what you have and when it's going to expire. So there's an automated way to be able to say, okay, you're getting ready to expire. So please make sure that you get back with your providers to say, hey, we need to renegotiate rates again. An automated way to be able to rate those shipments and tender those shipments. All right. So you're using technology to be able to do that versus fax or phone or sending an email. It automatically rates it based on the rates and tariffs that you have in place, and then automatically tenders it out based on the routing guide that you have for those particular providers that are supposed to execute that freight. And then they submit back there whether they accept it. And if they don't accept it, then it moves to the next provider and so forth in order to be able to give you shipment statuses after it's accepted and executed. So those are kind of the five key things that I would say within a transportation management system that companies need to think about deploying.
Yeah.
That'll be able to help them in their supply chain, be able to, like I said, drive down cost and improve service.
So if I got those right, visibility real time, improved service, lowering cost, capacity automation, managing suppliers, and then the kind of the catch-all number five, technology, where if you're going from contract management to some of the other things.
Right.
A lot of those are components of the advantages folks gain with whether they're with Envision or whether they're looking at just how to look at their business more effectively through the effective use of technology, right?
Absolutely.
TMS and otherwise. So I want to talk about, y'all published a great blog article, Making Use of Big Data. And big data is a cliche. It's been around for, I don't know, the last 10 years or 12 years. And for it seemed like for a lot of years, folks, companies got really good at accumulating it, but they weren't so good at using it, right, and making big decisions and getting return on that huge cost that it took to accumulate it. Let's talk about advanced analytics in particular. As part of this blog article, you are talking about some of the difference from descriptive, diagnostic, predictive. Tell us about some of the differences in those various analytics.
Yeah, and before I go into those, yep. Collecting the data on a large scale is talked about, saying it's incredibly easy. It may be easy to be able to collect, but as you stated, it's coming from a lot of different places. And so how do I get that into one spot? How do I be able to utilize that quickly to be able to make decisions? One of the things that we do in Envision Global is we provide business intelligence and advanced analytics. It's taken from a couple different places. We do freight on payment for many customers all over the world. We take those freight invoices. Those freight invoices have everything, right? They have origin, destination, they have accessorials, they have the cost of the goods to be able to in terms of the freight rate and fuel. And so we're able to capture that data to be able to give that data back so they know what their spend was by provider, by country, by time, and all those various ways.
Because so, that transportation spend is a big chunk of overall supply chain
costs. It can
cost,
be
right?
3 to 5% of overall overall revenue. So absolutely, it's a huge expense. And we're seeing CFOs that are actually in charge of supply chain now because of how big that expense is. So So being able to get that data and be able to understand, and what we do is we provide back the dashboards and the graphs and the information with respect to that spend, with respect to that by country or by provider very quickly so they can make quick decisions. But with respect to what you're talking about.
One more quick point. Yeah. So we want to focus what you're saying there. Let's focus on the 80 and not necessarily focus on the 20. Let's focus where we can get bang for our buck on these on this huge transportation expense and get insight into those big numbers, because that a lot of times you can uncover a ton of opportunity, right?
Yeah, and so the key is that you know, it brings out key areas that that you may not have known. Let's just say that they shipped globally and they spent $1 million last month out of a particular country. Wow, that's 20% higher than it was the previous month. Why? Mm-hmm. They can quickly be able to see, well, they had this many shipments out of this particular location. For some reason, the provider that was supposed to do it didn't do it. It went down to another provider to get it done. Therefore, it cost more. We need to make sure that we meet with our first provider and find out why they didn't execute the shipments. So quick information to be able to quickly digest what happened.
Yep.
Because
out of mind.
History. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I realize it happened in the past, but I think that's a good segue into talking about the descriptive, diagnostic, predictive, prescriptive, and cognitive in terms of advanced analytics. So descriptive being really telling you what's going on in your supply chain. All right. So that's really what the descriptive piece with advanced analytics is telling you. And then the diagnostic part is really explaining that something's happened. It's a diagnostic piece of your business. And then predicting is really all about what's the prediction of what's going to happen next, right? With the respect on the what's based on the past. And the prescriptive piece is really what you should to achieve to avoid the certain outcomes, you know, based on the artificial intelligence that you've had based on what happened in the past, being able to make that avoid the future issues based on those issues that we talked about. And the cognitive is suggesting future action for successful outcomes based on what has been learned from the data that we talked about, right? So utilizing that data to make quick decisions in the future is really what you need to drive.
And that's a big part from descriptive, diagnostic, predictive, prescriptive, and cognitive. That's mm-hmm. a big part of the overall suite that Envision brings to the table, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and visibility into these. And I need some more prescriptive analytics around a lot of different aspects. You know, telling me where to go and how to avoid problems. I mean, that'd be real helpful. Maybe what calls to play in the football game, right? Maybe help old Kirby and Dabo there.
You know, from a real-time aspect, you know, the traffic. I mean, using Waves and other different things in terms of apps, the WSB app and other ways to be able to try to get you around the city. The problem is there's just not enough arteries to be able to get you around.
We're working on it. We are working on it.
You need that helicopter to go straight up and around.
Some drones. That's right. Well, want to wrap up with this item before we transition over to Bo here. So, Dave, y'all, CSC and Pete Lana's got a number of different events coming up. January 24th, you're going to be at New Realm with Young Professionals. February 15th, you've got a talent-focused lunch event at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Right. Also, speaking of CSC and P, you went on a big trip to Europe speaking as part of some CSC and P programming. Tell us real quick as we wrap up, what's top of mind with European supply chain leaders?
I had the it was excellent for me to be able to go over the pond several times last year based on our global offices that we have, and allowed me also, CSCMP is a global organization with over 6,000 members, and so we have a roundtable in Spain, we have a roundtable in Italy, a roundtable in Luxembourg, many roundtables. So I actually met them as I was making travels for Envision Global to understand more about what CSCMP does globally and how we can share programs and share speakers and share topics and be able to educate, because that's what we're all about, educating folks with respect to supply chain. So I was fortunate to be able to go to Barcelona and participated in the forum that was there and for CSCMP. And so one of the things that I learned is with respect to outside of the outside of North America, really, and probably more U.S., is there is a, it's much more manual. And so they're really starting to see the need from their final customers about better visibility, about some technology that can help them provide really what's going on with their business. They need to be able to have to be able to touch something very quickly to be able to give an answer. And I think when you're talking about countries, kind of like we are in states, those countries act separately. I think Bo talked about earlier with respect to the European Union and so forth, how there's not a lot of alignment. And so being able to have a piece of technology to be able to drive your supply chain across countries,
yep,
with quick visibility as well as quick data intelligence is it's what's needed. So I'm really, really excited about trying to help companies get that configurable technology that they need.
Mm. What a neat trip. We need to set up a presentation of some of your key lessons learned from that trip. That was a month or so ago.
Whew, time flies. I think it was October.
Well, big thanks, Dave Maddox, Senior Vice President, Sales Supply Chain with Envision Global and President of CSC&P Atlanta Roundtable.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for all the collaboration and your leadership. Atlanta Supply Chain Awards, of course, could not happen without Dave and the board at CSC&P Atlanta Roundtable, all the other events we've done, and looking forward to a big 2019.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so we're going to wrap up today with Bo Groover, founder and president of the Effective Syndicate, and of course our sponsor for our hashtag Leadership Matters series here on Supply Chain Now Radio. Good morning again, Bo.
Good morning again.
So I came across an interesting article here recently, and we chatted about it in the warm-up show. So Harvard Business Review, which is, of course, a great publication, a lot of different aspects of leadership there. Duarte is a firm that recently published a study of over 200 leading company executives. And of the 200, 69% said they were planning to launch or are currently leading a change effort, right? And 50% of these same executives said they hadn't fully considered their team's sentiment around the change. So how does that resonate?
Shocking.
Yeah.
You guys who can't see us, we're kind of looking at each other smiling. So
how does that sit with you?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a recipe for a train wreck. It's kind of the ready, fire, aim mentality, right? So it's unfortunate because I think we get excited as a lot of business leaders, contrary to Paige, a lot of business leaders get excited about a new thing. It's shiny. Maybe it's a new ERP system. Maybe it's a new building. Maybe it's a new logo or brand. We get excited about these tangible things. And unfortunately, we lose or leave our people behind. And so these guys who are 69% of them are about to launch something but haven't really thought about how their team is going to feel about it or interact with it. I mean, it's just, it talks to why 70% of our workforce is disengaged in our company. I mean, it is so obvious, but hey, it's 2018. Mm. We've learned this for the past 60 years, but we're still doing it. So it's kind of staggering, the lack of understanding of the information that is out there. We've discovered this decades ago, but we keep doing it.
And we're not listening. So Paige, you were laughing as we were reading through that. So real quick, what's your take on that?
No, it's not surprising. I mean, I think we see that from a lot of companies. It reminds me of something we used to say in the military, you know, fix it till it's broke, right? And they keep trying to fix things and shocked and maybe surprised why it's broken because they're not thinking about the most important asset that they have, whether they think it's that new logo when they see it, but it's really the most important asset is their people. And again, it seems like a common sense thing to say. We all shake our heads and laugh about it, but so few really put their passion and their belief and understand that that's really what's moving their bottom line is their people. Without it, you don't have a company.
Yep.
Regardless of whether you're a technology company or you're a trucking and logistics company like us.
Mm. Well, and to keep in the military theme, one of the things that I heard one time is those who plan the battle rarely battle the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're about to launch this change effort. And we know, without a doubt, people don't like change. They view it as loss. So I'm about to announce this change. I know the vast majority of people I'm announcing this to pucker up, right? They tense up. Oh, gosh, what does this mean? What am I losing?
Circle the wagons.
Yeah. Right. How do we protect our old culture? culture, even though I'm miserable in my old culture. 70% of us are disengaged, right? I mean, it is this weird psychology. But if you're going to do something, you need to, as the leader or as the team of leaders, articulate very clearly what are you trying to do and why is it important? Mm. And then you get the heck out of your people's way and let them tell you how to do that. Mm-hmm. It is, I mean, it is just such a simple, straightforward recipe, but it's 50%.
Yep.
Haven't even thought about it. Mm-hmm. Not even on the radar.
So the effective syndicate, and we were talking earlier, y'all have done a big year for the company as well, serving a lot of different clients. And I'm not envious of what you do because we talk change management, and you're going into these companies with complicated business models, some of the issues that we all talked about, you know, the challenges of the day, and you're leading that change and equipping the teams with the know-how to also how to they lead the change as well, process people, you name it. Tell us how critical is communication? I mean, talking about, you know, getting close to your people and getting them bought in and contributing and planning. How critical is communication to change management?
Well, I mean, it's fundamental, right? So we're fortunate. Usually the conversation starts with us of somebody asking for Lean or Six Sigma help, which is the technical side of what I do. And then we get in there, we start interacting and interfacing with their people and go, y'all don't even like each other. If we can come up with the best process in the world, but at this level of dysfunction, you're just going to waste your time. So I give kudos to the companies that recognize, hey, this isn't going well. Let's look for some outside help. And I think we're able to coach them through that process. And it starts with, what are you trying to do and why is it important? Mm. Yeah. And let's communicate with our people and then let's involve them, right? People have got good ideas. They're just as frustrated as you are. They know their processes suck. They know that they're working around bad systems and bad computer and bad tools and all of that stuff. So if you're going to do something and you don't start out with, hey, team, we're about to do something, we need your help, you've already missed.
Yep.
And now you're going to spend, you know, thousands of hours and thousands or millions of dollars trying to navigate some kind of change, and you've already failed from the start.
Wow.
The battles are won before the battle starts, right? Mm. Or they're lost.
Mm. Yeah.
So kind of continuing from one C of communication to the next C of culture, equally as critical. Talk about how culture, you know, when you're fighting that battle, if you've got a stronger culture, I would assume that navigating through the challenges of change management is a little bit easier. Talk about how culture plays a part in driving change.
So I'm not sure that it was officially a Drucker quote, but one of my favorite quotes is culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Right.
And so I'm a firm believer if you've got the right people in the right seats, as Paige was talking about, and you've got them bought into why do we exist? Why are we here? What are we trying to do? It really doesn't matter what you put in front of them. I mean, you could be a company making cell phones and decide you want to start making microphones. You got that culture right, and you can turn those people loose. They will figure it out.
They'll run through a wall for you.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. They will absolutely kill themselves to make it work because they're bought into what you're doing. And so many companies, you know, I don't know if it's scary to wade in that water and talk about behaviors and core values and then live them and hold people accountable to a set of core values, but it's just such an obvious opportunity. So the communication starts with what's important. What are we trying to do and why are we trying to do it? Here are the core values that we want to embrace and live by. If you get that part right, you can put just about anything you want in front of that company and they will win. Mm. Every single time they will win.
Love it. And so we've got changing gears a little bit, but one of the ways you can plug into Bo, we've got a webinar coming up in February, and I'm putting Bo on the spot here because we're still about set to publish. But I want to say it's around 5S and 5S audits and which helps us can establish a culture, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not about 5S. It's about workplace organization. So the
not the first time I've had my facts wrong on Splash.
No. not a fact. More of a splitting hairs, if
there,
you will.
Yeah.
But so there's a lot of psychology that talks about something called the Zeigarnik effect. Mm. And our brains are hardwired to need closure, right? So if you've ever been broken up by somebody, you know, maybe in high school, your girlfriend broke up with you, but you never had that conversation of why, or you went through some kind of traumatic event, you got laid off at work and you never got that closure, to something as simple as you get that stupid song stuck in your head.
Right.
and you keep singing it, right? It is your brain wants closure. And so psychologically speaking, there's a large percentage of our brains that are making laps around all of this crap in our lives that's not done. It's the loose doorknob at home. It's the squeaky floor that you walk around. It's that junk drawer that every time you open it, your skin kind of gets cringy. And so from a workplace environment, you walk into somebody's office and it looks like a tornado just passed in front of you. And recognize what that does to you and the people who work in that office. It is a brain suck. Mm. And so the psychology of having workplace organization is that your brain is it's a cluttered space creates a cluttered mind. And so the webinar is kind of talking about why, right? What is it? Why is it important? And then some strategies around how do you move down that path to not burden your brain with unnecessary garbage.
Love it. Sign me up. Let's go ahead and do it right now. But he really spoke to me there with that description.
It's going to be good.
That is going to be good. And I want to say, and details you can find at supplychainnowradio.com. It'll be published next week. But I think February 15th is the date we've tentatively set for that. So more to come on that. If you want to learn more about Bo, you can find him at theeffectivesyndicate.com whenever he's not in the studio or doing webinars or out there fighting the good fight, driving change. But it's been a pleasure to have you on these Leadership Matters series. We're looking forward to, again, continuing in 2019 and going even bigger. So on that note, let's close on a couple final items here. So first off, what I did not do as we wrapped up with Paige and Dave is I didn't tell our audience where they can find out more information on their respective firms. So Paige, how can folks learn more about Team One?
Sure. TeamOneLogistics.com. Just spell it all the way out. TeamOne Logistics.com. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and all the other interwebs that are out there.
Terrific. Thanks for being here. That's TeamOneLogistics.com. And Dave, let's talk about Envision and CSCMP Atlanta.
So EnvisionGlobal.com. All the other social medias, LinkedIn, heavy presence there, Twitter, Facebook, so forth. So EnvisionGlobal.com. CSCMP.org. Or AtlantaCSCMP.org, both of those two websites for CSCMP, to see our events. We'll blast out our programs and tours about 30 days out from the actual event. I think the January 24th event that we've got at New Realm, we don't have on there yet on the website, so that'll be on there probably the first week of January.
Yep.
So get signed up for that.
January 24th. Good stuff. While we were sitting here chatting, Jason Moss with the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance texted me and said, say hi to both of y'all. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. So,
good guy.
Hey, Jason. Yeah,
that's right.
Wow.
We couldn't do a lot of what we do without that collaboration. All right. So next up on Supply Chain Now Radio, one of our first podcasts of 2019, we're going to be broadcasting live from Orlando, Florida. I think that's in Florida these days, isn't it? Part of APIC.50 Symposium. It'll be a really neat experience down there with a lot of the different APIC chapters around the country. Part of that, we're going to be sitting down doing a one-on-one with Abe Eshkenazi, which is the CEO of APIC, and interviewing some of the different chapter leaders across the country there in late January. Webinars coming up. We've got one with Rusty Wiley. We're going to be talking about sales execution in the modern technology area. Rusty is with Team One.
Yep.
Amen. I had breakfast with him and I walked away. I think I walked away with several certifications after spending a couple hours with Rusty. But January 17th, that's going to be a webinar on sales execution. And you know, we don't talk enough about sales execution in supply chain. We're all selling when we like it or not, but looking forward to his perspective. January 30th with Elba Proud Gallagher, Show Me 50, webinar on what 2018 taught me about leadership. And we've got several others, including one with Bo in February. To our audience, to auto-enroll, don't worry about registering one off here for each of our webinars. If you want to text Supply Chain to 42828, we'll get you auto-enrolled. And, of course, you can always opt out if you see a topic you don't like, except for Rusty's. No opt-out of that.
Nope.
You're locked in. Now, we're here to make your life a little easier. We talked about Atlanta Supply Chain Awards. Again, that URL, AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. Nominations are open for 7 different categories in the end-to-end supply chain. So from procurement to manufacturing to transportation to warehousing and distribution, right?
And sponsors availability as well. So please reach out to us if you're interested in being the sponsor.
Absolutely. And we've been real fortunate in this first year event. The planning team, Dave and myself and Robin and Wiley and Chris and you name it, a lot of other folks. the Atlanta Airport, big sponsor. Team One Logistics, big sponsor. Talent Stream, big sponsor. UPS will be involved at some point. We're nailing down a big keynote, and that will be announced after the first of the year. And we've had a bevy of, you know, from the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics to Atlanta Regional Commission to the NMTA and the Georgia Manufacturing Alliance, a lot of other industry alliance partners that are a big part of this first year event. So AtlantaSupplyChainAwards.com. One last note, Supply Chain Now Radio is proud to announce that we're new media partners of EFT's 3PL and Supply Chain Summit in Atlanta, which is taking place June 10th through the 12th. Home run lineup of speakers from Land O'Lakes, Uber Freight, Cisco, DHL Supply Chain, many more. Check out EFT.com for more info. If you can't find it, send us a note to scott@supplychainnowradio.com. We'll get you more information. And we hope to be broadcasting live from the event as well right here in the hashtag Supply Chain City. So, big thanks to our featured guest today, Paige Sipline, CEO at Team One Logistics. Check them out at teamonelogistics.com. Dave Maddox, SVP Sales Supply Chain at Envision. And you can check them out at envisionglobal.com. Also check out atlantacscmp.org. Of course, our sponsors, Bo Groover, the man, the myth, the legend with the Effective Syndicate. Learn more at theeffectivesyndicate.com. Bo, before we wrap up, any final challenges or come on, end of year, give us a good T-shirt. Motto here.
No T-shirt motto. So just a couple things real. Thank you guys both, Paige, Dave, for being here with us.
Glad to be here.
Scott, big kudos and thanks to you for your hustle is unparalleled.
Oh, the Energizer Bunny is what I call it.
He just hustles and chases and digs, and it's inspiring, and you're bringing great people and great content together. So thank you sincerely for that. The only thought I've got is while we're going through the holidays and while you're headed into the new year, take a break, take a step away from your daily grind and figure out what you want to do in 2019. Mm. So the self-leadership principle of it starts with me, but it's not about me. What am I going to try to do in 2019? And I would encourage everybody out there, just take a little while and reflect and think about how do I want 2019 to shape up and then go make it happen.
Well said.
Well, and let me add one of my favorites. We're talking about leadership. I think one of your challenges you like to put out there is open door policies are for weenies. Get out of your office and go out and lead. Talk with your people and lead, right? So words to live by in 2019.
Absolutely.
Big thanks to overall program sponsors, Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Of course, big thanks to Bo and the Effective Syndicate. We wish all of our listeners and folks who are listening to replays have a wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas. And we challenge you to go after and have a big 2019. Thanks, everybody.